The tweet-happy and garrulous President Donald Trump has expressed pride in how many foreign leaders he has spoken with during his transition and after his inauguration. The leader of Japan actually visited Trump Tower right after the election. China's President Xi Jinping was among the first world leaders to congratulate the president-elect by phone, but the president of Taiwan called Trump on December 2nd, raising all kinds of questions. In all, there are 18 foreign leaders that the president has spoke to since his inauguration. Some have not gone so well, as in the phone conversation with the Australian leader Malcolm Turnbull, which ended with what some described as a hang-up and the New York Times said was simply abruptly ended by President Trump. But despite numerous communications back and forth and a phone call with Russia's Vladimir Putin, there has been no substantive communication with Chinese President Xi Jinping since taking office. This unusual situation sets the stage for a series of recommendations from a group of 14 experts, from diplomats to economists, impaneled by China expert Orville Schell. He's the Arthur Ross Director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society. Orville Schell, welcome.
Pleasure.
So, first of all, how does this delay and mysterious hesitation on the part of the administration to engage with China affect the recommendations that you're making?
Well, one of our recommendations is that President Trump, early on, make a call, get together with President Xi, because this is a relationship of incomparable importance. On the other hand, before he does that, we ardently hope that he will formulate some comprehensive strategy for how he intends to go forward rather than just pixelate the picture bit by bit in a rather spontaneous fashion, which could be quite dangerous. So we hope the interaction goes quickly and that it happens soon, but that it takes place with a certain judiciousness and preparation.
So there's tons here to talk about in this embargoed report, but what you're saying there is actually his delay might be a good thing based on some of the spontaneous statements that may cause more problems than solutions in comments on foreign affairs up till now.
Well, I'm here in Washington now, and I've been going around talking to people at the White House, State Department, Defense Department, the Congress, and I think the general feeling of everybody is that the Trump administration has not yet found its sea legs. Its people have not been fully appointed. They've not fully connected up to form a sort of a really comprehensive network of how to communicate with each other. So it's early on. And of course, this also sits on top of the president's tendency to tweet late at night, his sort of inner sentiments, which tend to upset things. So it's a very volatile situation.
Speaking of volatile situations, your number one recommendation in the executive draft here is work with China to halt North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. Do you think that's possible? What progress can be made early on, do you think?
I think our new president owes it to the president of China to give this one last try. We've not been very successful in the past. The only real way to, I think, bring North Korea to heel on the nuclear question is if China is fully cooperating on sanctions, to sanction its trading companies, the banking, because most of the leakage in terms of China's sort of economic activity to the world goes through China. Now, whether Xi Jinping will agree, I don't know. No one does. But actually, the U.S. and China here do share a real common interest in not having nuclear weapons in Kim Jong-un's hands in North Korea. But if they cannot forge some sort of a collaborative process very quickly, then I think our task force suggests that the U.S. move unilaterally towards secondary sanctions against Chinese companies, banks, and other enterprises that are doing business with North Korea. This is an urgent matter.
Let me combine a couple of things here. You want to move ahead on cyber issues with China and also Taiwan and Hong Kong. Do you think progress is possible there?
Well, I think, you know, the Taiwan question raises the whole dilemma of the one China system, which Donald Trump did call into question. Whatever you may think about it, it is sort of the keystone of the arch of U.S. policy to China and to Asia. And we have so many other urgent matters begging our attention. I think our task force members all feel it would be foolish to meddle with this fundament right now, that we should leave it be. It's not in Taiwan's interest to have China rattling swords and possibly some military action to reunify China. And let's get on with questions that are of more immediate urgency than disturbing that. But that said, I think everyone also agrees that the U.S.-China relationship is out of balance, whether you look at trade and investment, whether you look at human rights, whether you look at media, denial of visas, the inability of media outlets to operate freely to distribute in China, whether you look at the NGO law, which is prejudicing the ability of foreign NGOs to work collaboratively in China and build a decent relationship with China. All of these things beg attention. And I think if we can't get a handle on it soon, we may find the hope of engagement dwindling before our eyes.
In the last minute, I'm going to combine another two because there are so many really important issues here to deal with. You want to sustain and broaden U.S.-China collaboration on global climate change. Is that even possible, Orville Schell? And how does this new relationship with Russia complicate matters that you've tried to sort of put forward with these recommendations?
I think after the nuclear issue in North Korea, there is nothing that begs more attention and more urgency than climate change. And the U.S. and China actually have developed a very good relation on this front. And one can only hope that the Trump administration will continue these efforts, not only because climate change is a threat to everyone in the world, but because it is actually a very constructive, positive area of collaboration between the U.S. and China. And in these fraught times, we need such collaboration more than ever.
Orville Schell is the Arthur Ross Director of the Center on U.S.-China Relations at the Asia Society. You can see the full report by going to the Asia Society's website. Orville, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.